Item number eight.
From the Director of Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report for the Divisions of Disabilities Services and Behavioral Health regarding Hilltop Program Downsizing Initiative. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Jerry Lyday, Administrator of the Disability Services Division.
I'm Paula Lucy, the Administrator of the Behavioral Health Division.
And just as an interesting side note, both of these ladies have previously served as the Director of Health and Human Services for Milwaukee County, not at the same time, obviously, Paula, then Jerry, and then Hector, so a little bit of history at the table. All right, this is an informational report, so who is going to kick us off here?
If Paula and Jerry want to chime in and add some additional points, they will do that. In 2010, HSRI recommended that BHD work with the state and Department of Disability Services to downsize Hilltop. The 2011 budget included language to develop a plan. Since then, Department of Disability Services and BHD have been providing quarterly reports regarding the progress of this initiative. And in 2012, there was language in the budget to include increased community resources for individuals with developmental disabilities and also mental illnesses. Through this effort, we want to make sure that we are successful, that we build capacity in the community and services so that people don't come back to BHD. So BHD screened residents to determine behavioral and mental health needs, and it was identified that there's 24 individuals that could be in the community now with some additional support, and I'll go over those additional supports in a minute here. Then there was another 24 that were identified that probably needed some more expanded, more developed community support that will probably take some time, and we would work in partnership with the care management organizations to develop that. And then there's another 24 that are likely to need the support of a facility like Hilltop. So that was kind of an evaluation and assessment that BHD did and identified those three different buckets of individuals. The ultimate goal is to develop an integrated system of care for individuals with developmental disabilities and mental illness, and really want to emphasize community success. I'll walk you through a little bit of some of our planned activities and some timelines that we have for 2012. We submitted a letter to the Department of Health Services regarding our intent to downsize 24 beds over this next year. And a few things that we want to do to make sure that we are successful through this effort is build that community capacity. We want to develop expertise within our existing mobile team to work with individuals with developmental disabilities and mental illnesses. And these individuals would provide immediate response to situations that arise in the community. We want to seek support from a behavioral specialist for crisis intervention and stabilization, who would develop and support behavioral treatment plan. They will link individuals to needed clinical supports, and they would support and train community staff in residential facilities. We'd also like to add some additional crisis beds in the community, and they would have a primary focus on treatment and also stabilization. And we'd like to develop a community integration services to provide the appropriate people at Hilltop experiences in the community prior to being discharged. The letter that was sent to Department of Health Services requires us to develop a relocation team. So we're working on that. That relocation team is comprised of people from the Department of Health Services, Aging and Disability Resource Center, representatives from advocacy groups, and also family care management care organizations. We're going to initiate a meeting with the care management organizations to discuss this initiative, and also want to note that it is really the responsibility of the care management organizations to develop this programming in the community. So our partnership with them is going to be really important as we move forward through this initiative. BHD is going to seek input from University of Wisconsin-Madison, the Wiseman Center, and also Dane County Community Ties regarding and other models that have good programs for people with developmental disabilities in the community. We're going to issue out an RFP for additional crisis beds. We also want to release an RFP for community integrated services. BHDU is going to develop and implement a strategy to reconfigure units at BHD, all with the intention of developing successful skills to transition out into the community. And BHD will also implement and develop an approach to communicate with and communicate and educate the guardians regarding this effort. We're also going to explore working with the Public Policy Forum to undertake a gap analysis to see what is needed in the community for us to be successful here. And lastly, in 2013, we'll include an initiative in our budget to evaluate the transition of our first 24 individuals and to develop a plan on our second cohort of 24 individuals. We want to make sure we're successful with that first 24 and have that full evaluation before we pursue the second 24. Also, future budgets will determine options available for that third cohort that have more challenging behaviors, and consider doing an RFI to see if partners in the community would like to serve those individuals. So that's a brief overview of the report. If Paula or Jerry would like to add some additional information.
I would only say that we are very excited about moving forward. We're very excited at BHD about how we may reconfigure our units and reconfigure the programming. And just maybe as a teeny bit of background, the clients that are served in these programs, there are 66 clients in these programs right now. We have three units of 24, and we rarely have an empty bed in that service. So that's going to require us to really think through new referrals, how we might refer them so that we don't end up sort of not filling beds, but just shuffling who's in those beds. The clients that we serve are people with intellectual disabilities, some with very profound intellectual disabilities, IQs really below 40 points, and all of them have some challenging behaviors. And so we need to find places for them there they can be very successful in the community, also safe, and also for the community to be safe. So this is this is not a small initiative. It's an important initiative for us. We're working very carefully with the disability services, and we'll soon be meeting with all the family care organizations to help them help us in moving this forward. But this is a very this requires, I know members that have been on the committee have heard us talking about this for a long time, but these are very vulnerable clients, and really we're working very carefully to do this in a very thoughtful and manner with all due speed that's can be achieved.
And Ms. Lucy, if you don't mind, and I apologize because I had the numbers down and I was going to be able to recite them today and I don't have them. They're lost in my mind somewhere. The 66 people, you have a breakdown. You evaluated all of them, and there were. Can you break it down for us? And by
yes, we evaluated them by of course, we evaluate and assess all of our clients rather routinely.
Right.
But we undertook a special initiative to evaluate all the clients as it relates to their ability to function in the community, and in partnership with DSD, developed a behavioral assessment form that looked at things such as episodes of aggression, episodes of attempted elopement or unexcused absence, sexual activities, ability to manage activities of daily living, bathing, eating, etc. And a team that was comprised both of BHD staff and DSD staff reviewed all of the clients and sort of rated them in terms of the ones deemed most likely to succeed in the community to those least likely. It came out to be about a third, a third, a third. So that a third, about 24, were viewed as being, and this was a snapshot in time, and so the list of the current 24 are not necessarily the first 24 that we picked because things change and people's behaviors change. But about 24, as Director Colon says, are people we think could be in the community but would need some support. Most of those supports may not exist in the community today, and so that's why we keep talking about the development of community resources. The next 24, we believe, could be successful in the community but would need more significant community support. Again, certainly none of that support exists today, but could, through the first 24, could exist. And then the last 24, we seem to believe, will be guests of ours or a facility like ours for a very long time, due to usually profound intellectual disability and fairly aggressive behaviors. So that's the kind of the breakdown. And as I said, it was a snapshot in time. As we we actually have sort of a working list of 30 clients, mm-hmm. and people kind of dropped to the bottom of the list or moved to the top based on their development and skills that we're working on, mm-hmm. as well as, sometimes we find the right medication, sometimes something changes, and so that we can get to 24.
Awesome. I thought that was important for the committee to hear, because I know some members of the committee, as well as members of the county board, as well as staff out at BHD, as well as the community, kind of had this, vision of us just pushing everybody out the door. And that's absolutely not the case. We totally understand that there, not everyone who's out at BHD can be integrated into the community, nor would we want that to integrate them into the community. And so,
just one more thing, Supervisor, if I might. The goal of Hilltop is active treatment, and so we do have a recovery focus at BHD, and so we are continuing to engage in active treatment with clients to continue to move people to that list.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Leide.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that, this is a real opportunity, I think, for some people to live in an integrated, more least restrictive environment. And it is real, real consistent with what we've done over the last 10 years. We really are not new to this. This is an initiative that we've supported for people who can live outside of an institution, have opportunities to do that. And I would just phrase it, I think, a little bit different, in that the first group is a group of individuals who we know have similar needs of individuals that we've moved previously. Completely closed Jackson Center and Hearthside in this community about 5-6 years ago, and there have been a number of nursing homes that have closed in this community over the last 10 or 15 years. So we have consistently, I think, transitioned individuals from institutions to community. It is certainly, I think, though, something, a challenge. It can be very traumatic for individuals who've lived someplace for, in as much as 15 to 20 years. But individuals have made the transition, and there are individuals who are living successfully in the community, and I think, as Ms. Luzzi and Mr. Colon indicated, it is about having the right supports, and also that you have the right resources, specialized resources, and that you have care management organizations who are willing to pay for it. These individuals are not going to be inexpensive. It is not. It's about delivering quality, specialized services so that they're safe, that they thrive in the community. And I think as we looked at the three cohorts, each group increasingly, I think, needs more intensive supports. But that last group, in the event you had, I think, the right supports and you were willing to pay, I think for everybody in the institution, there's somebody in the community. But that is going to be a very challenging group. And I think we're not sure that even with the right kind of supports and, in terms of the cost, we just want to make sure folks are successful. But it's not like everybody won't be given an opportunity, if they so desire and they want to go. And I think, as Paula said, that 24 may change because people's needs change. Today you may have a group of 24 that appear to be ready. Tomorrow someone may develop some kind of infection, or things may change, their behaviors may change. So I do think that it is a great opportunity for parents. There are some guardians that's going to be a huge challenge. I think some guardians really view Hilltop as a safety net, and they feel comfortable that they're there. You know, it is a difference for an individual moving from kind of a structured, very safe environment into a neighborhood. You know, they see things happening out here all the time. So I do think that there is an education for guardians, but the relocation team really works with them, makes them understand, and we will work not only with BHD but with the care management organizations to make this a successful transition for everyone that desires and wants to leave.
Wonderful. Supervisor Bowen and then Supervisor Mayo, please.
Thank you. Is it safe to say that patients in that top 24 number do not include patients that have a consistent violent history?
Well, Ms. Augustine, Supervisor and Chairman, first of all, we tend not to use the word violent. We tend to use the word aggressive behavior.
Aggressive.
Sorry. I wouldn't say that's true. I would, in terms of history, I would say that some of those clients may have had some aggression in the past, but we've been working through our active treatment program and behavior modification and moving towards recovery that. We would not be transferring anyone to the community that would put the community at risk.
For themselves.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a couple questions I have. First, we're talking about guardianship, and I'm glad Ms. Lydie was talking about that. And in your report, you said the guardianship is a community and educated to educate them. But you got to make sure those guardians really have those patients' life in their hands, that make sure that they know where they're going. Mm-hmm. And when Supervisor Bowen hit on the nose, when you have some who are very aggressive and very sexual active, mm-hmm. even though they may be on their meds, if that guardianship is not there to make sure they to overlook or oversee the procedure and the wraparound program that you put in the community, they will slip through the cracks. And that's one concern. Remember that those other two that I had a concern about. When you bring these individuals back into the community, they're not used to seeing activities, hearing those alarms, seeing people running up and down the streets, and just seeing all these activities. And that's what my concern about closing Hilltop. Hilltop is the last haven that Milwaukee County has for those real acute individuals, especially the ones who really cannot take care of themselves. And I just want to make sure we do educate those guardians, because those ones would be the safety net for those individuals. The other things I'm talking about, the funding. You talk about tax levy. How much don't most of them on T19 and get different funding sources? Isn't there grants for them? And also other funding sources to help us along? Because it's really, you don't get that much off the property tax rolls, do you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much do you
get? All of these individuals will be eligible for family care, which is one of the reasons that we're looking at that. So, you know, they are eligible for family care. They will work with the family care organizations and the teams. There are, you know, three agencies in this community plus a self-directed supports option. And the guardian has to sign off on the plan. They really know where that individual is going. The teams work with them. So nothing happens without the guardian's consent to move forward with that plan. And the guardian continues to work with the team once that individual moves. But I think you make a very good point. One of the questions that guardians always ask is, what happens if they don't make it? Do they have a place to go back to? Can they go back? And I think one of the questions we're grappling with now is, you know, how many beds do we need in a community of this size? Because at this point in time, Hilltop is really the only ICFMR facility mm-hmm. in Milwaukee County. The other two have closed. However, it does focus on a very specialized group, which are individuals with intellectual disabilities and mental health issues. So you know, have individuals that I think present a few more challenging issues. But I think the reason why we are moving very cautiously and slowly is to make sure we consider all of those things, because we want people to be successful. But I do think you will find that there are some individuals who may need to, for a period of time, go back If it's just a medication, you know, change, or maybe they are experiencing some aggressive behaviors, it's not always to say that once a person's out, they may not need a short-term stay at some future point, you know, 1-2 years down the line, you know, maybe a 30-day stay. So the question is, I really, and I think Mr. Colon talked about the kind of gap analysis, what does this community need to support individuals on an ongoing basis for individuals with intellectual disabilities and mental health issues? While we may transition this first group, but we will need some beds always in this community, and the question is how many and how far do we go?
I think you also raised a very interesting point about people's adjustment to the community, and so we do already do group community integration things. We take our clients, you'll see our clients at the State Fair, at Summerfest, at sometimes Brewers games. We go to all-you-can-eat Chinese place, and so those kinds of things. We do try to do that. I think as Ms. Lyde is planning, we're also looking at some individual integration to get clients into more taking the bus, going to the grocery store, some of those kinds of things, so that as you correctly put out, we have a very nice park-like protected environment, and so how do we move people into the community so they become comfortable?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, yeah.
But also, you, to your own admission, you are stated that you do not have the outreach or the providers who can deal with these individuals. You might have providers who may want to get in this business, mm-hmm. but if they're not aware of these patients or have dealt with these patients in the past, our staff out there do a wonderful job, and they work with them. Even though you might be in a group setting, but they know those workers out there, and those workers are their protectors, so it's just like their parent to them. Now, when you take them away from that parent and put them with a different parent, how are they going to react? And you really have to be careful when you change this model to a different type of model, because we always going to keep those beds filled. But once you bring those beds down, tendency we don't want to add more beds. And so that's what one of my concerns. And when you do this, and I don't want to monopolize, just two other questions. Just one more question. With the RFP and the QFI, will that be coming back to this committee so we can see exactly what you're putting out there?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Thank you. And to Supervisor Mayo's point regarding the guardian, that's part of what the relocation team's job will be also.
We'll work with
be
the guardians.
That additional support, not just for the individual who we are moving from Hilltop, but also for that person's family. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if we're going to just be dumping these people off. The other thing for the newbies that you may be interested in it in is that Milwaukee County over the past, three years, has added almost 400 additional housing options for people with mental illness, for people with disability, for the elderly. So we are just kicking butt and taking names. We're really proud of what we're doing in housing. And so if you're interested in learning more about that, you can sit down with Jim Matthey, and he has a whole plan. And so that's one of the things, because we realized that we had asked BHD to downsize Hilltop, you do have to have places for people to go. So even in my district, I have two housing facilities that don't just, it's not just apartments, it's assisted living. And there's caseworkers on board, and then there's one right outside of my building being run by Our Space. And so, and they're using peer specialists, and they, you know, they're just really phenomenal models. And so we're trying to, as we get the data, really use that data and create spaces for people. Because, and we'll be doing a tour up there as a committee of BHD and of one of these housing options, and hopefully at the Crisis Resource Center, so you can kind of see how the whole thing comes together. But as we tour out at BHD, for those of you who have never been out there, you will see individuals that you believe work there, and you'll come to find out that they're actually our residents, and but they're very extremely high functioning, and so it kind of breaks your heart when you see someone who functions at that level who is living in a, you know, in an enclosed space. When you visit groups like People First Wisconsin, and you know, their entire board is made up of people who used to be in facilities and who are now living in the community, and you know, their president you know, has a girlfriend and rides the bus, and they all go to work every day. So it's, you know, it's it keeps everything in perspective for you. Mm-hmm. But more questions. Supervisor Bowen, Supervisor Mayo, are you through? Okay, Supervisor Bowen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What has been the interaction between, I know you stated that there was a meeting between you and the providers. How can we make sure that the providers are know really what they're getting into and that they're actually training their staff mm-hmm. to the degree that's needed?
Well, you know, this model really looks at working with the care management organizations, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that. Ms. Ledger is the director of the Milwaukee County Family Care Organization. And really what happens, there's an individual assessment done to identify the unique needs of that individual. And there is a team that identifies what kind of supports exist in the community and what's going to be needed. And they will develop individualized resources for that individual to assure that they have the right kind of supports before they move. Many times those guardians go and look at the resources, they meet the providers, they sign off, and they make sure that they are really, really, you know, have the best interest of that individual. And constantly in the resource center, every month, you know, there are at least 30 or so individuals that are referred to us from nursing homes. Then they select a care management organization, and they work with those individuals around transitioning them. They establish the physical health care linkages. You know, many of them will need doctors. You know, they will need dental care. They will need sometimes specialized supports. They will make sure that those providers are trained. So it's a very specialized, individualized approach to make sure that an individual is transitioned successfully in this community.
You might speak about that. We also would have do visits. The client would actually visit and even do an overnight or a weekend pass.
They transition very slowly. I think, as Ms. Lucy said, they may have an overnight visit, then another overnight visit to make sure that that is an environment. And part of the community integration that we're going to do is once we have, you know, 8 or 10 individuals, we will actually do things so they have individualized experiences. Some people have not necessarily even selected their own clothing. You know, they, you know, somebody has done that for them. Just little things that you would not even imagine that individuals need to have opportunities to do for themselves to make that transition. So I think that, you know, again, over the last, you know, 10 years, there have been hundreds of individuals that have made this, that have made the transition and are doing very well. And it is really about the upfront planning, you know, before that individual leaves and making sure you do have specialized good providers.
Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And their transition, with the goal of being with the goal of being successful transition to the community, part of your assessment tool, do you have one that addresses their budgetary management concerns, which instructs them on how to manage their money mm-hmm. once they're in the community? Mm-hmm.
There is an assessment. Many individuals have a payee, someone else that manages their money or assists them with their budgeting. Not everyone is able to do that independently, and if they're not, the assessment would indicate that, and there would could be a payee established for them. There are agencies that actually act as a payee that help individuals pay their rent, you know, purchase their groceries, make sure their light bill is taken care of, and sometimes guardians handle that themselves. So they definitely assess their ability to manage their own money.
Thank you.
Are there successful models out there in the community where all of the patients are placed in the community based, you know, obviously on their varying needs of acuteness and care requirements? But Madison, for example, they don't run an institutional type setting up there, right? Isn't every client is placed somewhere in the community?
You're right.
Supervisor.
Director Pallone?
Yeah, thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo, yes, we are going to be researching some of those models, in particular in Madison, and learn from those models and look if we can adopt some of those programs here in Milwaukee moving forward.
Okay. And I just want to clarify, Guardian approval is required before you can transition a client to
Absolutely.
The community? Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned the funding that there is property tax levy. So those in the family care program and that have funding, the funding doesn't cover the full amount of their care? Or?
No, it does not. Well, the current, let me just say, the current rate that we're receiving is not covering our costs.
So when we go in the community, can we expect to continue to have to utilize property tax levy? Or will you expect that that amount of money will cover the community, the care in the community?
We believe that the family care benefit will cover the care in the community.
But the department is doing some things to help support the system, like the community integration and the crisis respite home, that will be a benefit for the whole community. But the individual funding for that person, once they leave, their costs are covered through Medicaid and the family care benefit.
All right, thank you.
Supervisor Stemper?
Thank you. You mentioned being ready. Is there any discord any time between the agency believing that the client is ready and the guardian not?
Almost always.
What would happen? Oh, yeah? How do you guys handle that?
I think as similar to the client, we have to make that transition in a way that helps the guardian and the client feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a matter of education, showing resources, seeing other clients in the facilities, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's important for perspective is that we actually created a society here in Milwaukee County where at one time it was perfectly appropriate if you had a relative who had a mental illness or a developmental disability that you did hospitalize them, and that was what we did. And, you know, and so a lot of individuals still have that kind of in their mind that this is where, you know, this is what you do. And so then when you come to them now and say, it's 2012, and we no longer do that, and we now integrate people in the community, they go, oh, wow, really? That's, you know. At the same time, there's, you know, you can point to case Supervisor Sanfilippo has a constituent who has lived with his sister. He's got Down syndrome, and he's actually 60 years old now. Which is almost unheard of for someone with Down syndrome to live that long. But he's lived his entire life at home with, you know, his parents. He takes cooking classes and, you know, he socializes and he has a job and he
works
takes the bus.
McDonald's.
Yep, he works at McDonald's. And he's very much a part of, you know, society. And I think when you take a look at those type of cases and when you can say to other families who have, you know, loved ones who have Down syndrome who are institutionalized and say, well, look it, you know, this is the other end of that spectrum, they kind of go, oh, okay, well, and it's, you know, it really is. It's actually been kind of a learning process also for us as a board because we also kind of say, well, we're not really sure. It's that fear of the unknown because you're not entirely sure how everybody will act once they're integrated into the community. And so you want to be supportive, but at the same time you have to be a little bit, you know, you have to have
cautious.
That. You have to be cautious.
Mm-hmm. And we don't would not move forward unless the guardian agreed.
Right.
There have been times, though, I have to say, because Milwaukee County is really we perform what we call Watts reviews, we determine the least restrictive environment and the most integrated setting for everyone who has is in a protective placement order, mm-hmm. and we review those cases yearly. There have been times when we have thought that a community placement was the best place for that individual against the guardian. We don't like to do that, but there have been occasions where we have said this person can thrive well, and we believe that the guardian may not be thinking about all of the options that could exist for that person. But that's rare. But again, it rests with Milwaukee County for older people and anybody protectively placed and younger folks to make that determination for people that are in an institution. So we're vested with that authority by statute.
Okay.
All right. Very good conversation here. I do have a card from Barbara Becker from Disability Rights Wisconsin. Who would like to, would you like to speak? Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Ms. Thacker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Chairwoman West and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Beckert, and I'm the director of the Milwaukee Office of Disability Rights Wisconsin, the protection and advocacy agency for people with disabilities in our state. And I appreciate the chance to say a few words to you about the Hilltop downsizing. Our agency, by state statute, is one of the participants in the relocation or downsizing or closing team. For ICFs or other institutions that serve people with disabilities. And so we have a lot of experience with participating in this type of thing and have helped hundreds, thousands of people relocate from institutional settings to the community. First, I wanted to commend the staff here. I think that they're doing a very good job. I think this is a very fine proposal that they put forward. They've really put a lot of thought into the assessment that's being done. I really like the way that they're looking at different models, including the use of the Wiseman Center, the State Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities in Madison, and the community ties model that is being used in Dane County as well. I think that those have a lot of potential and that we want to help people be successful in the community, and that means providing a continuum of care. A couple questions have been asked about relating to behaviors and aggression, and one of the things that I wanted to point out is I think the research really supports that an institutional setting often tends to foster aggressive behavior. For people who have significant disabilities, often being in a crowded setting where there are many people around and where you don't have much control over any of your choices, you know, what you do with your day, what you eat, that actually fosters difficult behavior. So we've seen that people who may have problems in an institutional setting, if they're given the right services and supports in the community, that those behaviors often significantly diminish or go away. And that's what our hope is, that all of these residents, we believe, have the potential, given the right services and supports, to have a better life in the community. I think the managed care organizations, as you've heard, are really important partners with this, and we look forward to working with Director Ledger and with the other managed care organizations. And one of the things that I think we have to remember is that we've got to do this in the right way. So that means, as you've talked about, having providers who have expertise in this area, and I believe that they're out there, and we need to have an adequate rate. And I think that's one of the things that we all need to work together on as advocates. There used to be an enhanced rate that the state provided when individuals initially moved out of an institution, and the state had some reason why they stopped offering that enhanced rate. And, you know, I don't agree with that. I think that's important. If you're moving someone into the community, there's initial investment in terms of setting up the environment. You know, people may need specialized adaptations to where they're going to live. So that's something that I've continued and our agency has continued to advocate for with the staff, as well as other ideas about how the family care model can be enhanced to better serve people with complex needs. So, you know, I wanted to thank you for the time to share a few ideas with you again, really indicate that we think the plan that's put forward is a very good one. And for our agency, this is a very high priority. And, you know, we're just ready and waiting for when the plan, relocation plan, goes into the state to serve on the team and to have our advocates available to assist with outreach and education for the guardians and for those who would like our assistance to help them with the relocation. Thank you.
That was an informational item, so unless there is further comments or questions,
I just wanted to move to receive and place on file.
Okay. Supervisor Harris is moving to receive and place on file. All right, on that motion. And clerk, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stanford.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file is approved.
And now all the new guys are nervous because TC told them not to do that in training.